If building the foundation in a child's life is giving them a faith in Christ, giving them a consistent answer to all of life's challenges, which is a faith in Christ, then building the walls on that foundation is the ability to follow Christ, the discipline to follow Christ. Making your no mean no will get your child there.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and this is sort of an extended series that we're on. Usually our series lasts only 1 week, but we're taking a couple weeks to share 30 things that you need to teach your child so that they are marriageable and employable. And a lot of these topics we're kind of reducing because we've done entire weeks on
We have, and we're trying to make us all as parents think, okay, there are just some basic things I need to be doing, and just kind of shotgun through them like this. And there will be times we'll get more in depth with them in the months to come. But there are some basic things. If God has a plan for my life and a plan for my child's life, I want to set my child up to find that plan. And there's a path my child needs to get on. And one of those things in that path is to early on have a faith in God, early on get to know who God is, early on get to know the long 20-year process of how do you ask God questions, how do you follow God. But it's not just that. Today we're going to talk about making your no mean no, having the discipline to say no to temptation, the discipline to say no to urges, the discipline to say no to your friends when they are challenging you to disobey God. That's what David, King David, didn't do well. King David, writer of the Psalms, knew, and I believe King David had a hard time with the prosperity, actually. When he was running for his life, he was writing the Psalms. And then all of a sudden, he's living in the palace, and he calls for Bathsheba when he has other wives at the same time. Mm-hmm. So all in all, I want to give my children early on, starting at a little over a year old, an understanding that my no means no, and it will take a long time to get there. And if you haven't done it, it's never too late. We do that with the children here at Sheridan House, and they're 12, 13, and 14, but it takes a long time for them to consistently believe. No means no. That behavior is a no behavior. Every time you do that behavior, there will be a consequence. It's not really punishing my children as much as it is giving my children a consequence so they internalize it and realize, wait a minute, every time I've done that behavior, there's been a consequence. So I need to learn to say no to me rather than wait until they say no to me. Mm-hmm. I need to start internalizing the process of saying no, but it will give me so much power over temptation later on.
Now, I know there's a lot of parents that are probably thinking, okay, but you don't know my child. No, my child's a strong-willed child that I can't even begin to fathom why God would give me this child to raise to be marriageable. I just want them to survive to see adulthood.
I don't think that's unrealistic. I think if you've got two children, and this is another one of the imperatives we need to know, and we'll talk about it another time, you have two very different children, which is a shocker. How did both these kids come from me? I think, though, what we have to decide is that strong-willed child, once they believe that your no means no, once they believe your no means no, it's pretty amazing because I got it. I understand it. And it takes a long time, and I'll act like I don't get it, but I get it. And every time I do this behavior, I go to bed early. Every time I get out of bed when I go to bed early, you put me back. And if you put me back more than once, I go to bed early tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. Why am I doing this to me? When you make your no mean no, you pit the child against the child, not against the parent. Mm-hmm. When your no doesn't mean no, then you say, it's okay to argue because we're not sure whether this is really a no or not.
And this is almost kind of a relational topic because a child can be so misbehaving or not respect the mom or dad's no, but then go into a classroom and sometimes they're like angels. How come that child is standing in line so well behaved? And I can't control my child when they're at my house, or quite the opposite.
It's me going to see an elderly lady who, picking up Tori from the nursery, turning when she was about 3 or 4, turning her over to Rosemary and going back to Miss Sipple. I said, Miss Sipple, when I came to pick Tori up and I asked her how she was, and you said she was great, and I almost wanted to show you a picture, make sure we're talking about the same child. And you said, no, she's great. And you laughed. And I said, how come she's great for you and not for me? And she said in a different way, she didn't use these words, but she said, my no means no. And Tori's learned that. Mm. I think there's another aspect to that, though. I think we develop a parent-child habit. Mm-hmm. And the child's not too sure about these other people. But I know I can get you. I can take you down. Mm-hmm. And I know your no doesn't mean no. And I know when you warn me. And I know when you count to three, give me a break. There's nothing else on planet Earth that counts to three. So it's 3 the magic number or no the magic number? And parents are going, two and a half. Right. Don't make me do that next
2.75.
One.
2.75.
Yeah,
drive.
Yes, as if the cop is going to pull you over and count to three to get you to pull over. None of that works. It's not teaching the child the right thing. By no means no. And I marvel at my daughter, at your friend Tori. My daughter goes in and says to Ruben, who's 2.5, this is your warning. That's a no. And you watch him process it. And you watch him process it. Mm-hmm. Is it worth doing that? And, you know, sometimes he does it and he gets a consequence. You know, he'll get a spank or whatever. Sometimes he doesn't. So that watching him, but the most magical thing is this internalization, and you can see behind his eyeballs. I don't really need to touch that, but I want to touch that, especially because she said, don't touch that. Mm-hmm. And that has nothing to do with the touch that. And so watching so many parents remove everything from 4 feet on down from their house, is bare.
Right.
They're hanging from things instead of sitting on couches because the house is totally bare because they don't want to say no. You know, you should childproof your house. You should stick your things in the sockets and you should do some things. But we've never childproofed our house, and our childproof where Ruben is now isn't. There's one cabinet in the kitchen he can open up. It's full of the Tupperware. Mm-hmm. He owns them, you know, and the Tupperware now has all his stuff in it on top right. of the Tupperware, whatever that stuff is called. Yes, Tupperware. End of the day there, he gets it. That's a yes, that's a no. Mm-hmm. That's a yes, that's a no. It has nothing to do with the object in front of you. It has everything to do with growing up. And when you go out the door, you have internalized, I know I can identify a no because of my faith in Christ. I've learned to identify a no. And now I have the discipline to do the no. Mm-hmm. I have a discipline to be Joseph.
And it's almost like there's a security in that too. When I walk into the classroom and the teacher's no means no, I'm safe. It's a predicted response.
Yes.
And then I go home to mom or dad who explodes and they're having a bad day, so I don't even know how they're going to respond when I go home and misbehave and I'm stressed out. Then there's just an unpredictability, and that kind of does something, you know,
yeah,
to
yeah.
you inside.
Oh, yeah. Mom, is this an argument time or not? I mean, the two letters put together, the N and the O, don't always mean what the word says. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it means argue, sometimes it means debate, sometimes it means battle. And the problem, if my no doesn't mean no, if mom's no doesn't mean no, it means it's up for grabs and it's an argument and I can wear her out or exhaust her. If it doesn't mean no, then all of a sudden our relationship is damaged. And you said it well. All of a sudden I'm insecure. All of a sudden a potentially good night is a disastrous night. But none of that stuff is the reason. The real reason is this child needs to grow up knowing that something that is a no from a parent and then transferring it to something that is a no from God is a no. I have now internalized. I have a power. It's an amazing power. It's the power of no inside of me. I don't have to conform to those guys in the fraternity house. And when everyone's looking at pornography, or they're calling me in to look at pornography, or somebody sends me some all of a sudden, I have the power of no. I'm not doing that. How could I do such a thing and sin against God? I'm not doing that. And that will help me, because when you put a piece of plastic in my pocket called a credit card, there's nothing wrong with credit cards. It's what we do with credit cards.
Yeah.
There's absolutely, it's kind of like sex. God created sex. Mm-hmm. He gave us sex, but it's become polluted. He gave us money. It's become polluted. This credit card thing, it's convenient money. It's just not extra money. And mm-hmm. teaching my children as they were growing up, the power of no concerning credit and the power of no concerning paying interest. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. We don't do it. So putting a scene together where I realize if I cave in, if my no doesn't mean no, I set us back and we have to start over in our parent-child relationship, because now my child has whined and beaten the system. But I also slow down the progress of my child having the power of no inside of him. Mm-hmm. These two go hand in hand. Yesterday, talking about giving my child a faith in Jesus Christ. Today, giving my child the discipline to follow Jesus Christ go hand in hand. It's great to have a faith in Jesus Christ. We're supposed to have a faith in Jesus Christ. That means we're saved. That doesn't mean he's my Lord. That mm-hmm. means you're saved. And we've mm-hmm. linked these words together, Savior and Lord. And this whole thing with making him my Lord means I have the discipline to report to you, the discipline to follow you, Lord, and the discipline to know you well enough to be able to say, how could I do such a thing and sin against God?
We've been talking about the 30 things that every parent must train their child for them to be employable and marriageable. And we're on number 3 today, sort of the walls that attach to this foundation of who we are in Christ, and that's the power of no. And you can hear these programs as we continue to broadcast them. You can hear them online at parentingtoday.org. But Dr. Bob, in Sheridan House, though, you have a boys' home and a girls' home. So
we have a boys' campus and a girls' campus with multiple homes on each campus.
And this is sort of behavior modification type work.
Yeah.
Because you have to teach this to them.
You dated yourself a little bit there. I was surprised that you used behavior modification. It's a, it's an 80s university word. But I just want everybody to know.
It comes out of my mouth sometimes.
I want everybody to know Ruthie's not old enough to actually know that term. I'm way old enough to know that term. Yeah. It is modifying behavior. And the way we do it is place the responsibility in the child's hands. And the child wins or loses choosing.
But this is what you're teaching them, power of no. Maybe their parents, didn't teach this to them. And maybe there's someone listening right now that says, I got a 14-year-old. Is it too late?
Never.
So explain that.
Let me tell you how I know it's never too late. And your generation doesn't know this, but mine does. When I got out of high school in 1966, if you didn't have a plan for your life, Uncle Sam had a plan for you, especially if you were male. And you got to go spend 10 weeks at Quantico or wherever as you got drafted. And if you didn't really get the power of no and you didn't get the responsibility, you could take another 10 for free weeks, and they'd help you figure it out and learn how to get yourself out of bed at 4:15 in the morning and do the things that needed to take place. It was an amazing program because it raised men. It took them from boys to men. We don't have that program anymore, and it's the parents' responsibility to get them there. And so what we want to do is put together a plan that helps my child not get sidetracked, and that begins, as we have said, with a faith in Christ, which is why we're all, the reason we're here at Sheridan House is our faith in Christ. That's our motive. That's our why. What we do is we teach children about Christ, but we also give them the ability to follow Christ. But we give them that by giving them decisions to make. Where there are 5 children's homes here, 8 to 10 kids in each home, and they go to 5 different middle schools, 8 to 10 of our kids in each middle school. You go to class every day, and many of our children have not been in class in a long time. And you have an option to go to class or not go to class, do your homework, don't do your homework, be polite or not polite to the teacher. But if you don't go to class, you don't have your homework done, you're late to class, or you're rude to the teacher, then they call us because we have a Sheridan House staff member in each of those 5 schools, and we bring you home, and you may cut grass for the day, or you may wash windows.
How do you get them to cut grass?
It's not a problem. You can sit behind the lawnmower all you want, and you're not going back to school till it's done. Not going back to school till it's done. Or we'll give you a bucket to wash windows, and you don't want to wash the windows, then you go to bed at 7:30, and you don't get to stay and do the really cool things we're doing, and you don't go back to school till these chores are done. You have chosen to come home. School's a privilege. It's air conditioned. It's awesome. So we want you to choose wisely. That's a no. You chose to do a no. I know you're not used to us because you're 13 years old and you're not used to it. Being in a place where no actually means no. It means no. It doesn't mean I hate you, I love you, but no means no. It means no.
So what is the attitude of these house parents then? I mean, are they angry when the kid comes home?
No. We have to teach the child, and that's a whole nother essential we're going to talk about. We have to teach the child that we're not the consequence. No. I mean, in fact, when you're on task, we're going to go out and spend a little time with you. This is awesome, man. Why don't want to watch these? I know you don't. I'm sorry you chose to wash the windows.
Yeah,
I
didn't. Everything is them choosing.
Oh yeah, I didn't choose to watch. Yes, you did. When you were rude to the teacher, late to class, or didn't have your homework, or any of the 5 essentials that they have to have for school, I don't care about your grades. I don't care about your grades. I care all about your effort. And it's amazing. People are absolutely in shock. How do these kids come there making all D's and F's and leave there making all A's and B's? It's because no means no. You go and do some of the no, we bring you home. You do the yes, you're a winner. And all of a sudden they're doing the yes and they're trying and they're working harder. And we've got kids that go out of here making great grades and get full rides to universities that weren't even going to finish high school. My no means no. And I'm going to stay with that no. It's like every time you put your head down and run into the wall, guess what? You hit your head on the wall. Don't run into the wall anymore. Man, we really don't want you to run into the wall. But every time you run into the no wall, you hit your head on the no wall. There's a yes door. Use the yes door. And so helping them get it. It's not because I hate you. It's not because the teacher hates you. I love you, or I wouldn't even mess with this son. And then here at Sheridan House, we have to teach the parent how to do the same thing.
Right.
We want to set the parent up to win and the parent up to do that and place the power in the parent's hands and help them realize it's never too late. And I'm glad you brought that up. I want every parent to know it is never, ever, ever, never too late. It's the longer you wait, the harder it is to do. But it's never too late. And we've been doing this here for 45 years, and it's never too late. And watching these kids that are going, we're going nowhere now, are just absolutely knocking it dead. In fact, one of them's back home as a pastor here in town today.
Wow.
So it's just it's a great thing watching these kids absolutely get it. My no has to mean no, or we're constantly battling, and we have no parent-child relationship.
You've been listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and we're going down this list of 30 things that every parent needs to train their child for them to be marriageable and employable. We just did point number 3. You can hear today's program again, hear points number 1, 2, even the entire overview we did of all 30 points on Monday. They're online at parentingonpurpose.org. And if you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries and even support the ministry, do that online at shfm.org. We do hope you'll join us tomorrow for point number 4 of the 30 imperatives of parenting here on Parenting on Purpose.